This is Buckeye Burt, Season 2, Episode 3. Let's get it!
Tiona, do you have Wi-Fi here?
This is week two? I'm completely
Who knows?
What year is
week
it?
Week one recap.
Oh, man. Oh, it's on this side. I don't know where my microphone's going.
That's called production value, folks.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Sione of the Lunchtime Football Talk, along with Buckeye Burt.
How's everyone doing? Buckeye Burt checking in here. Justin Fields looking great in his debut. Excited to see what Ohio State has in store for them the rest of the season.
Nice. And this is Nate of the Sinister Six.
We spared no expense on the production value, as you can see. I'm excited to talk. Oh. That's our live studio audience. excited to recap week one and talk a little bit about week two coming up.
And the college football hipster is currently in a hospital bed coaching from the hospital room a la Hugh Freeze.
That was so ridiculous, and just all the memes that came out of that were just so funny.
That was the most college football thing I've seen ever.
Yeah, how much did they end up losing by?
I think it was 24-0, but if you guys watched the game, I downloaded ESPN Plus specifically to watch this game. And during the game, right before it started, Dino Babers walks out to the field, looks up at the hospital room, puts his thumbs up, and then they pan to Hugh Freeze in the bed, and he goes, thumbs back to him.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, what am I watching?
It's like a Lifetime movie.
That's hilarious.
All right, so we're going to get right into it. This is our recap of week one. So now it's time for the, I don't know, Sinister Six, but I don't have a button for it right now, do I? Maybe this one?
Oh, man.
Maybe.
You know, something like that. So let's go ahead and recap our six teams that we picked last week. So let me just start from the top. Oregon snatches defeat from the jaws of victory against Auburn.
Oh, man.
Utah shows mercy, runs the clock out on poo-poo BYU.
That was a great quote. That was great.
Boise State steals one against the criminals at Florida State University.
Nice.
Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts. Are you sure it's not Kyler Murray? And the Oklahoma Sooners kick the sorry Cougs back to Houston. USC wins the game against Fresno State, but lose quarterback JT Daniels for the season.
At what cost?
The most boring game, or the most boring team in the Pac-12 outbores the most boring team of the Big Ten, and KJ Costello takes an elbow to the face in the only exciting play of the game and could miss time moving into week two as Stanford beats Northwestern. So, I mean, what do you guys think about these six games? These are pretty good ones.
Let's jump right into it with Auburn versus Oregon. This game, so I was the only one who picked Auburn on here, SEC bias.
Yes.
So when this game started out, I was like, dang, Oregon really showing your stuff. I mean, they came out strong. They looked great.
Yeah.
I mean, they looked like they had Auburn like on their heels. Like their defense was just absolutely gassed. And that's something that's really hard to do against a really, really good Auburn defensive front. And then, I don't know, man, something just changed. Like, Bo Nix just got the spirit of the war damn eagle in him and just turned it on. But even with that being said, I mean, Bo Nix really didn't even play that well. He just played well in the scenario, in the situations where he needed to. You know, he really turned it on in the fourth quarter, making some good throws. But, like, throughout the game, I think I read his stat line. I think he was, like, 13 for 31 passing or something like that. So not great, but, I mean, he showed up when he needed to, so. That's all you can ask of a freaking true freshman, too. I mean, he played pretty well for being a
true freshman. He played lights out.
Yeah.
He was up and down throughout that game, but that last drive was great for him.
You can't expect that out of a freshman quarterback, but for him to come up big when it counted in such a big game, I think really speaks volumes to the kind of player he's going to be. I mean, this was the tale of two halves for Oregon. They completely beat the brakes off of Auburn. Auburn had no clue what was going on, going for misdirections, couldn't cover a single man downfield. Lots of big plays from Oregon, but I mean, this is the difference in coaching that you see from SEC and Pac-12 teams. SEC teams go into halftime and they're able to identify what wasn't working against the Pac-12 opponent in the first half, come back out in the second half and completely shut him down. And that's exactly what we saw. Justin Herbert did. He looked like a complete shell of himself in the second half, and Bo Nix completely turned it on. That Auburn defense looks really solid this year. They gave up some big plays, but they also created some turnover opportunities. And I think, I mean, definitely shouldn't have picked against the SEC in this one.
Yeah, it was exactly a tale of two halves, in my opinion. It was like Oregon came to play that first half. They got the lead. And then the second half, they're like, hey, we better not lose this. Let's just play safe.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Auburn started feeding off that. Yep. And Auburn's defense just kept getting more amped up throughout the end of the game.
Yeah.
Especially that double timeout dive play. Yeah. Stupidest call to play. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh. I'm disappointed in them.
Let's skip over to Boise State, Florida State. We'll talk about Utah, BYU.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So let's skip over to Florida State, Boise State. I didn't get to watch much of this game just because I was out and about. But what I did see was I remember checking the TV and Florida State was up, I don't know, what, like 31-13, I think
yep,
it was,
that's
something
exactly
like
what
that.
It was.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, like Florida State's got this. That's kind of what I thought. Like the talent level is probably a little bit different. Boise State's got a freshman quarterback. Like it's a hard place to
– The humidity.
It's probably a hard place for them to go in and play with the humidity, exactly. So I was like, okay, this is pretty much over. And then I just remember looking at the TV again and going, what the heck happened?
Yeah.
Credit to Boise State, though. I mean, getting it done. I guess we're talking about a lot of true freshman quarterbacks here getting it done this first week, but disappointing, I would say, from Florida State. And then the Willie Taggart quote afterwards about,
oh my gosh,
we just need to give him some more water, or we just weren't hydrated. Like, dude, come on, you are making yourself look like a clown.
Yeah.
So that's all I got to say about that game.
My big question for this is: Florida State that good, or is Boise State that good, or is Florida State just that bad that they were able to lose that big of a lead? I think that's to be determined throughout the season. Boise State looked very impressive. The whole Mountain West as a whole, I mean, just previewing for later segments, but they're looking really good.
Yeah, the Mountain West looked really good.
Florida State just confirmed all of the fears of, like, their entire fan base of, is this still a dumpster fire? Yes. After week one.
Is that the first dumpster star of the episode?
Oh, there it is.
I mean, don't want to overreact too much to week one, but from the looks of it, yes. If you have your coach coming out after the game saying you lost because you didn't drink enough water, not good.
I'm sure that's what it was, coach.
It was weird watching that game because I was watching it but changing channels back and forth, and Justin Blackman looked great. He was just throwing bombs, constantly throwing bombs, taking the top off that defense. And then some of those plays, those receivers just kind of made the catch out of nowhere. But in that second half, they weren't even nearly connecting at all. And it just went from like nothing but production to no production the second half. And Boise State just said, hey, we're going to be chopping this wood little bit by little. And they get there and they got the win. It was impressive at Boise State, and I wouldn't expect anything less than those guys.
Shout out to the big wheel, Krusty Craig. He was the only one that picked Boise State.
Oh, he wasn't here. It didn't happen. What else we got?
All right, moving on to Houston and Oklahoma. Everyone picked Oklahoma here. Good job, everyone. Jalen Hurts, I mean, just looked incredible. Absolutely incredible. That dude was on fire. I mean, what did he have, like almost 200 yards rushing and like –
say 178 yards rushing.
200-something passing, whatever. I don't even know how many touchdowns.
Four total touchdowns. Wasn't it the best debut quarterback since Johnny Manziel or something like that? Of transfer quarterback? I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, he looked phenomenal. He looked absolutely just on fire. I mean, there was no stopping him. Oklahoma still looks like their defense is – Yeah. Oklahoma. I mean, it might be a little bit better. Who really knows? I mean, Houston can score points. They can definitely get you there. But I think this is going to be the exact same Oklahoma team that we saw last year. Just explosive, amazing offense, defense, meh.
That was my impression of this game as well. I think it was really crazy to me to turn that game on. He's wearing the number one just like Kyler Murray did last year. I kind of thought it was Kyler Murray for a second. I was very disoriented when I first saw Jalen Hurts. He was playing like an absolute machine.
Wait, that guy's like 6 inches taller and like 200 pounds.
Yeah, completely bulked up, moves like a running back, but he looked fantastic. I know there were a lot of storylines that kind of came out about him just like crying himself to sleep at night over the fact that he wasn't able to be Alabama's quarterback despite having pretty good production, all things considered. He just got beat out by Tua, which, I mean, everybody would, realistically. I think looking forward for Oklahoma, I can definitely see this team as a CFB playoff team, but I think, I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, and these guys, they don't play defense. Every single year, their defense just gets shredded, and they're the reason that they're not able to stay in these games, and I expect another high-scoring first round of the college football playoff, and I expect them to bounce out pretty quickly after.
So you expect them to go undefeated this year?
Undefeated or maybe like one loss. I haven't looked at their whole schedule, but
I mean they got Texas in the Red River Shootout, so that one's going to be interesting. But then,
it's the Red River Showdown.
Showdown? Oh, I thought it was Shootout.
Yeah, Shootout is too violent according to the PC police.
Okay. Oh boy.
I was just impressed with Oklahoma. They were good. Jalen Hurts was better than I thought he would be. And
yeah, way better.
He looks just like a really big quarterback back there who can run and didn't make a mistake.
Yeah, he looks like he's built like a running back back there.
He truly is.
When he takes off and starts running, I'm like, this is just a running back. But I feel like everyone's kind of rooting for him. You know, I feel like everyone's kind of rooting for him. He's kind of one of those guys that's just like he's always just kind of put his head down and just gone to work. And yeah, he lost out on the starting job, but he's just I feel like he's one of those guys that just kind of doesn't give up. And everyone's just kind of like, you go, Jalen, you go.
Yeah, no one can say anything bad about him because he's been a class act the entire time.
Yeah, no complaints coming out of the Alabama program. Like, he was never one to, like, second-guess the coach, the media, or anything like that. He always just – he was the model citizen for a quarterback.
Yep.
All right, what else? What else?
All right, moving on to Fresno State and USC. Poor JT Daniels. What do we got? What do we got on production for that? We got a womp womp.
Let's see.
There you go. So,
oh man,
I just feel so bad for USC. Like that's just a terrible start. Yeah. I mean, obviously they still come out with the win, but losing your star quarterback and then it just shortens the time frame that Clay Helton is going to be the coach there because.
And then Urban Meyer takes over.
Yep,
that's just going to happen.
Yeah. So instead of giving Clay Helton 6-7 games, now it's looking at 4-5 because I just don't see them getting it done. With just the backup quarterback and just everything that program has been through. It's just – and I feel like that's just such a hit just to your team's just ego. You know, you just lose – you lose your guy who's, the face of your program, the rising star. He's done for the year. So it's just like, what do you have to look forward to? You know, you got a tough, tough schedule up ahead, and I don't think they're going to come out with –
That's right, yeah, USC has a tough first five games, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're out of conference schedules and nuts.
Yeah.
What do you think, Nate?
I think this is the beginning of another really up and down USC football season. I think they'll win a couple of games that people don't expect them to, and I think they'll lose a lot of games that they should definitely win, being the storied program that they are. This game, they didn't really do anything that was all too impressive. The backup quarterback looked fine, and it was against Fresno State, so, I mean, what can you really say there? I don't really have a whole lot else to say other than Clay Helton should really be sweating bullets right now if he's not already.
Yep.
I was staying up to watch this game, and then I realized I fell asleep because when I woke up, it was already like 3 a.m. So I watched at least the first half, or at least almost in the first half because he wasn't hurt yet at that point. And it looked okay. Like Fresno State really came to play.
I thought Fresno State, like, they looked pretty decent, like, yeah. Against a really talented USC team. I mean, that's no surprise, though. I mean, they're a great Mountain West team, so.
Their defense was up for it. Their offense was erratic, but watching the Graham – is it Graham Harrell? Okay. Watching his offense, it was a lot of, like, crossing routes.
Yep.
Tons of, like, little crossing routes. So, I don't know. It was all right to watch. I just wanted to see more lethalness from it.
Yeah, it's too bad Fresno State couldn't join the rest of the Mountain Best.
Yes, that's right.
I will say this. USC's running back, the Vavai Malapea.
Oh, yeah. Palomau, whatever his name is.
Something like that. That dude is He's a beast.
Yeah, he looked good.
He rushed 23 times for 134 yards, 5.8 yard average. There was one that he had to get into the end zone. That was a pretty – that was a man run right there.
Oh, man. And our – this is the last game here?
Yeah. Northwestern Stanford.
Yeah, last one before we talk about Utah, BYU.
I did not want to watch it because I knew it would be a boring game.
Yeah, so
I saw that highlight.
I flipped this one on, and I was just I felt like I was watching paint dry.
Yeah.
It was rough to watch. I was the only one who picked Northwestern, just, you know, Big Ten bias. I had no reason to. But it was just a boring game. I don't remember a single thing happening besides KJ Costello going out that was like, wow, that was memorable. Or like, that was exciting. That was cool. It was just one of those games. It was just grinded out till the end. And
so you watched the whole game?
No, not the whole game. Okay. No, I couldn't bear through that whole thing.
Yeah, I watched the first half, and then I was like, okay, I value my time too much to be watching this game anymore. It was just four-yard run, very short, shallow pass. Northwestern seemed like they were a little bit out of their league. They have a lot of young guys. They have that running back, Bowser, who's pretty good, but there's a ton of turnover on the offensive side of the football specifically.
Did Bowser get injured?
I don't even know. If he did, it was after I turned it off. But I think Stanford, they look pretty good, but they're going to be in trouble if KJ Costello, if this concussion keeps him out for a while.
Yeah. I didn't watch it. That's it. I guess I missed that pick.
Yeah. Really, it was such a boring game.
Yeah, and also Northwestern's quarterback is apparently
Johnson.
No, TJ Green was the starter, and apparently he might be out for season now. And Hunter Johnson did not look very sharp.
Oh yeah.
So
I've heard that he was looking very slow progressions.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. TJ Green didn't look all that great either though, in fairness.
Yeah.
For as book smart as they are, they're not field smart.
Yeah. No, 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 no.
This is the big one here?
Yeah, this is the big one.
All right, I guess that brings it to it.
Which one do I do? That one? I guess so.
Let's do it.
I mean, yeah, you can do that. Or I was going to say, no, you can't do that one because you didn't win any money on this game.
That's true. I did not.
Riverboat gambler.
I should let everyone know that these guys got hurt feelings over me because I was wearing a BYU shirt on Thursday, was it?
Yeah, it was Thursday. That's when the game was.
Biggest, I just think you should be ashamed of yourself.
Biggest troll in the office. I told him the next day when we came in, I was like, you're going to have to sit under your desk all day long. That's where you belong for that blasphemy that you pulled.
Everyone at work, people online were mad at me. It was crazy.
Oh, you were quite the controversial dude.
This game was exactly what I thought it would be, but let's hear Buckeye Burt's take on the game.
Yep, you hit the nail on the head, exactly what I thought it would be. I mean, our defense had two scores, defense looked great. Surprisingly, Bradley and I didn't really show up. You know,
very quiet night.
Very quiet night, which is very surprising to me. The only thing that I heard about him was he had that offsides penalty called on him. But Lecky Fotu and John Pennacini, they definitely did the work. They had a great game. Francis Bernard looked awesome. That pick six was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Blackman looks great. Jalen Johnson played a great game. Our secondary looks real strong. I'm pretty sure Devin Lloyd made some plays, too. I mean, he definitely didn't seem like he was out of place. You know, he seemed like he fit right in. He seems like he's going to be a good linebacker for the rest of the year. Offense, I mean, just give the freaking ball to Zach Moss. My God. Every single time you give the ball to that guy, he's running over at least three people. And getting,
he's so shifty.
And he's getting, you know, 8-9 yards when he should be getting one.
The balance is unreal. He had that one run when we were backed up clear on the our 5-yard line, and just stays on his feet somehow, some way, and keeps on running.
And I don't know exactly what the specific stat is, but it's something like 60 or 70% of his yards are after contact. It's ridiculous. That dude just loves to run people over. Like, I was watching the game, and I just kept saying to myself, like, just give the ball to Zach Moss. Like, he's going to run these people over, and he's going to get yards.
Yeah.
Tyler Huntley looked – I mean, he looked fine. The numbers look better than what his actual performance looked like, I feel like, on the field. I mean, he was, like, 13 for 16, something like that. I mean, he didn't have any interceptions, not that I can remember, right? He was fine.
Yeah, he was fine.
He just didn't look, super explosive. As always, Utah offense doesn't look explosive. Defense lights out. The thing that is kind of weird to see is that we couldn't figure out the kicking game. And that's weird to see from a Utah team that's so consistent at kicker. I mean, we had to bench the dude because he missed that one chip shot and then missed the extra point. It's like, dude, come on, man.
My take on it was, again, I warned everybody going into this not to freak out. We're going to hold a lot of our offensive plays close to chest. We're not going to do anything too dazzling. Our defense is going to keep us in the game, and we're not going to blow BYU out. It kind of drives me crazy that in a rivalry matchup such as this, Utah-BYU, that we don't – it's not a little bit more personal. My whole take on this was offense is really simple. We only ran like four plays out of different formations. We ran a halfback dive, a read option where Huntley had the option to keep, a jet sweep to the wide receiver, and then play action, high-low concepts to the outside. So just we're keeping it very, very simple. Tyler Huntley, I mean, he hasn't changed a bit. There were all these storylines that came out during the offseason. Oh, he's progressed so much. Oh, he looks so much better. Never believe any of that crap. He still takes way too long in the pocket. Paralysis by analysis will be the death of him. When he has multiple good options on the field, he tends to overthink it and wait for the perfect throw rather than just throwing a guy open. He makes spectacular throws when he's forced to make a decision, and everyone's just like, holy crap, where did those come from? But he's not able to do that consistently. I think Shelly definitely fits the offense better.
Smelly Shelly?
Yes, Smelly Shelly.
Shelly, let's bring him back.
I think
he'll be back in week six when Tyler Huntley gets injured anyway.
Yeah.
That's a jinx.
I think University of Utah fans' best hopes for a college football playoff appearance is Huntley goes out before a big game, Shelly comes in and just completely has improved like 100% over last year. So that's what it's going to take, I think. Utah overall looked pretty sloppy. Three big passes dropped in the first half that would have been huge yards.
Keithy, what are you doing, my man?
Just dropped it. There was not a man within him 15 yards. Missed PATs, tons of penalties, did not look very good. Luckily, we were playing a pretty abysmal BYU team. The defense absolutely handled BYU's offense. Once we figured whatever the kid's name is.
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson, holy crap. Stop interviewing that guy's parents. That was the worst part of the game.
That was terrible.
Oh, my God. I wanted to blow my brains out. I was like, is this interview still going on? Are you kidding me? It was like a 20-minute interview.
And after all that, after they talked him up so much, he wasn't able to do really much of anything. Two pick sixes, tons of pressure, not very much on the ground after the first half. And then just, I agree with Robbie, Blackman and Bernard absolutely shined on the defense. I feel good about that aspect of this Utah team at least.
My take on the game was the talent difference really showed a lot in this game. Mm-hmm. That emotional first half was what kept BYU in, but that talent difference it's head and shoulders above BYU's right now.
Yeah.
Also, even though Anai wasn't like, a factor in the game, it shows how much, at least to me, that the depth of the defense can like step up and still protect the protect ground and not give up. So I'm not buying Utah as a natty team yet, but it feels like you can start every week. I want to start believing a little more.
Start drinking a little bit more of the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, just but not right now.
Sip by sip.
It's gotta wait.
We've got to see that offense step up.
Big time.
Also, BYU, I do not understand their substitutions. There's this dude, their number four running back on BYU. I don't understand why he gets playtime. They had that guy, what's his name? That transfer guy. Tyson Williams. Man, he was averaging 6.4 yards a carry. He only touched the ball seven times. But it's Zach Katoa is the guy who's always in for them. Yeah, he is awful. He rushed the ball three times for 1 yard, was completely whiffed his blocks a million times. Like, I don't understand what they're doing on that coaching staff. It's just a tale of two different programs where we've seen one join a big Power 5 conference like the Pac-12 and start to be a real contender, and then one who decided to go independent for some reason.
Screwing themselves over.
Exactly. It's all self-inflicted.
And that brings us to the Mountain Best. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Quickly, let's do a little – we'll do a little recap of the standings so far.
Oh, yeah. This is your passage. We don't need to know about this.
After week one. So we got Nate with four total points. He missed Florida State and Oregon. Sione, three total points. You missed on Oregon, BYU, and Florida State. Me with four. I missed on Florida State and Northwestern. Craig with the best record from week one. Only missed on the Oregon game. So he got 5 points. And then Steven also with four, missing on Oregon and Florida State.
That's the one closest to zero is leading, I think, right?
Golf score.
That's how it works.
Yep. Yeah, golf score style.
All right, everyone. We're here to talk about the Mountain Best.
Beautiful week one performances all around.
I love me some G5 football. So I was proud of them, proud of everybody.
Yeah, started off, Sione. Which one do you want to talk about? I mean, are there specific games you want to get into?
I watched that Boise State-Florida State game, and, like, it was incredible watching that game.
Yeah.
Would you say Boise State is the number one contender in the Mountain West?
Yeah, you would have to.
I think so.
They're probably the most hydrated team in the league. they're always in and out every year, no matter what. They're always a team, the class, the bar, the benchmark of the league.
Yeah, definitely. I was super surprised at freaking Wyoming.
Out of nowhere.
Completely
out of nowhere.
It was a fluky game.
Yeah, absolutely nobody guessed it. And I can't talk too much on it because I didn't watch a single second of it. But I just remember looking at the score and being like, what the heck happened there? Kelly Bryant in from Mizzou and he can't get it done at Wyoming? It's like, what are you doing?
A fluke fest. Did you watch any game?
No, I watched the highlights afterwards. I didn't think they had a chance.
There was like a fumble return for a touchdown. There was an interception for a touchdown. It was just weird how many things just went for touchdowns for Wyoming.
And it's disappointing. I mean, Kelly Bryant was my transfer quarterback of choice, and he completely made me eat my words on that one. He did not look very sharp.
I think after they got down early, he was trying too much to pressure, you know, to score, you know, 30 points on one play. I'm like, no.
Yeah, just take it slow, put some drives together. But, yeah, and then we also had Hawaii beating Arizona last week.
I love Hawaii.
Yeah, they're a fun team to watch. They're pretty crappy, but they're
– both quarterbacks should throw it.
Yeah. Utah State almost got it done. That was a really entertaining game to watch, though.
Oh, yeah.
That was great, just back and forth.
That went down to the wire, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really good quarterback play from both teams, besides, you know, the interceptions for Jordan Love, but – I also had fun watching COC Mariner, the
friend of the pod.
Utah transfer to Utah State. He had a great game. He had one catch. It was an incredible catch where it was like corner of the end zone, jumps over the defender, catches it, and barely gets his one foot in bounds, which was awesome to see. So I think he's going to have a good year there, which is kind of cool to see.
He had well over 100 yards in that game.
Yeah,
it was unreal.
He went off. He looked really good. And I'm like, well, where were you for us? What were you doing when you were on Utah? He just wasn't getting the ball. That's the problem.
Would you say it's a better quarterback as well?
I don't know. Honestly, that's a damn good question.
Jordan Love is pretty good. I think he takes more risks than our quarterbacks
do.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely airs it out more. He takes more risks, for sure.
Do you think they let him take more risks? Like, hey, just.
I think they encourage him to, yeah. Utah, I mean, we play – our pass concepts are not very intense. We don't throw – we don't push the ball down the field very often. We choose to just control the clock, run the ball. It's more of like a Dallas Cowboys compared to a Green Bay Packers kind of a thing.
Do we have anything else to say about that or no? Because I have a segue for this next part.
Hit us with the segue.
Yep, do it.
Speaking of about pushing the ball downfield, that brings us to Jalen Hurts. Now, Jalen Hurts is playing in an offense right now, Oklahoma, which is very – open, whatever, air raid concepts,
air raid,
whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like when he was at Alabama, they were stressing him, don't make a mistake. Just don't make a mistake. Well, this one is like, hey, just take the risk, do it. Just run the ball, throw the ball, do whatever you can. Be the five – was he a five-star? I don't know if he was.
I think he was.
Be the five-star guy.
He was an absolute freak his freshman year.
So Jalen Hurts right now, is it too early to say he won the Heisman? Is he a
week one Heisman. He is a week one Heisman for sure.
He's got it in the bag. Season, way too early. Way too early.
Let's put that in there. That's a new thing. He's our week one Heisman winner.
Week one Heisman winner. Shout out Jalen Hurts. Good job.
Congratulations. No, he looked great. I mean, it makes me wonder, is it that system or is it just they've had a string of three excellent quarterbacks come through there? Because, I mean.
I think it's just both. I think it's just both that are just – combining together into this super offense.
That Lincoln Riley system is just great for quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. He knows exactly what to, like, it felt like he was comfortable too. It didn't look like he was nervous at all. He's like, okay,
nope.
I'll dump it here. I'll run for 40 yards this way. Right, dump it here.
Yeah.
40 yards that way.
He just seemed like a man on a mission. I mean, he was kind of embarrassed on his way out of Alabama, and he wants to. He's proven it to Coach Saban more than anything else. He's just like, this is why I should have been in there.
Plus, he had. So many receivers to throw it to.
At times.
Like, every guy can make a catch and take it. It was weird just watching that.
Yeah, he looked great. I mean, he rushed for three touchdowns, passed for three touchdowns.
Who was that defender? Murray?
I don't know.
They had some crazy defender that was balling out on Oklahoma. Ken Murray Jr., I think his name was.
Mm. At least they have some help on the defensive side of the football. They're going to need it.
He was the only star. The only one.
So can we talk about another excellent performance that I think completely flew under the radar this week, and that is Joe Burrow at LSU.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys see his numbers? 23 for 27 passing, 278 yards, 5 touchdowns. He was on fire. And last year, he was just total, like, just game management, like, nothing stellar. Everyone said, like, oh, yeah, he's back there, but, I mean, he's not really going to do much. I mean, they came out swinging. And I was super surprised, and that's something that, like, I don't know. I'm kind of high on LSU this season going forward, just from that performance. I mean, yeah, they played Georgia Southern, not a great team, but they absolutely dominated them. I mean, 55-3, and Burrow was on fire, and that offense actually looks kind of reinvigorated, kind of revitalized, which is crazy because you just expect LSU to have the most boring offense in the world, rock solid defense.
And they have
for the longest time. So to see them come out and put on a performance like that offensively, LSU's scary.
I did read that 5-touchdown performance tied a school record.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I read.
Yep.
Wow.
Also interesting.
Not a lot of offense coming out of there.
Also interesting stat. 21 points for LSU in the first quarter. They did not do that all of last year. There was not a first quarter where they scored 21 points or more.
I hope to see LSU continue to spread the ball out and do something different, because that offensive system that they've been married to, I mean, the fact that you had Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry on the same football team and nobody knew who either of those two guys were coming into the NFL is just absolutely astonishing to me. I just think it's wrong. There's so much talent on that team. It's just utilizing it properly.
Do you have any nuggets for week one before we go?
Memphis, they had that, like, shipping crate cooler thing that was pretty funny.
Is that their turnover thing?
No, they just, it's so hot in Memphis that these guys, when they get done, or like there's a quarter or any kind of break in the game, they will go out to this cooler that they have in the parking lot, and they'll go sit in the cooler, and it's like below zero. They'll sit there, they'll cool off, and they'll come back out to the game. I think that's why they won.
I love that.
Wow.
That's why they beat Ole Miss. It's the key to the game.
AC, those tubes in their
shoulder pads. Yeah. That makes sense. That's awesome. I love that.
I have two quick stats for you. There was a delay in the Oklahoma State game. I forget who they played.
They played Oregon State.
They played Oregon State. That delayed at halftime. And it wasn't for rain delay. It wasn't for lightning or anything. It was that their coaches got stuck in an elevator, and they had to call the fire department to come help them get out.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
The second one was that Michigan State's defense – what was it, negative 79 yards against whatever team they played this last weekend?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's
a lot of sacks.
That's crazy.
No matter who you play, that's scary. You should be scared of that defense.
Yeah, but they won 28-7. But
they played Tulsa. That's who they played.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, they played Tulsa.
They won 28-7, but three of their touchdowns came defensive or special teams.
Oh, jeez.
You're going to have a hard time winning that way against real competition.
Sounds like Sparty.
Pretty great, though.
All right, guys, everyone, that was our recap of week one. We'll drop an episode later this week for our previews for the next week. You guys don't want to say anything?
No, I think the last thing, I just thought of this right now. Shout out to, I believe it was the Jackson State mascot or something, or I don't know what team it was, but some mascot got a 15-yard penalty for their team because there was like some scruff for the ball like in the end zone, and the mascot ran over and like was like trying to take the ball out of some player's hands. So whoever that was, shout out to that mascot.
We need more mascots in games.
We do, it's true. all I have to say, my sign-off, RIP Tennessee. That storied program is completely down the crapper.
We'll talk about that next episode. Wow. All right, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening, and thank you for the support. All right, see ya.
Peace.